Chapter 13. There must have been about 20 black vehicles on the hillside, and I suddenly felt extremely exposed down on the road. I didn't know if we had already been spotted, but I waved at the girls to move out of the way so we could regroup. We backed up so that we were hidden behind a clump of trees and couldn't be seen from the castle. All I could do was hope they hadn't heard our engines, and we would have time to figure out our next move before they sent someone down to find us.
Fuck,
Kath said as she reversed the jeep.
Looks like they beat us here. Well, we can't go back up there,
Becca said as she glanced at Adhara.
Maybe we could find an abandoned house to hole up in? We could head back to the one with the piano.
No, I said as I ran a hand through my hair, and Adhara gripped me tightly from behind. We have to go back at some point, and I don't know what the rest of the locals will have said so far. We need to know how bad this is. I'll go on my own and see what's going on.
No way,
Kat said.
You're not going up there without us.
You need to hide Adhara and keep her safe out here, I said. I'll be fine.
I do not need protection,
the alien insisted.
Not from Omati. She has a point,
Becca said.
She doesn't need us to protect her from the dinos. So why don't we help her find a good spot and then we'll come to help?
I guess so, I said. I just don't want you guys walking into danger if you don't need to.
Jason, we've done our fair share of walking into dangerous situations,
Kat said.
We want to be by your side. I know some really good hiding spots,
Becca said.
There's a little hidden den in the woods a bit further down the road. We used to go drinking there when I was a teenager. It's not much, but it's a good spot to hide in for a short time, especially if being sniffed out by dinos won't be a problem.
Make sure Adhara's safe, I nodded. If I can convince these bastards in black that the ship was empty when we found it, then maybe they'll fuck off. The girls didn't look convinced, and I knew that the government wouldn't be easy to shake off, but we had to try. There was no way I was going to let Adhara meet the same fate as her fellow scout. She was too important to both us and the world.
It's going to be dangerous, Jason,
Haywan said.
You saw how those assholes at the ship were. There are so many more of them here, and they will not want to leave empty-handed, not without a fight. So do not make them angry.
That's why I need you guys on high alert, I nodded. We have the advantage of Adhara's weapons. They'll blow whatever the men in black have out of the water.
What if you need help?
Kat asked.
It's too far for the transponders to work.
I'll be fine, I assured her. As long as Adhara isn't in the castle, then they have no reason to cause any harm. For all they know, whoever was in the ship just ran off after it crashed.
They might be wondering where the MI5 buddies are, though,
Becca said.
We're in trouble if they drive back and find them chucked in a bush.
There was a far-off roar, and I glanced up at the sky to check for any flying dinos. The agents on the side of the hill were surely going to attract the herd soon enough, and I didn't want a new threat of dino attacks along with the men in black. Okay, I said. Adhara, you can ride with Haywan. Make sure it's a damn good hiding spot, because these guys are trained to root out anything they're after. Only come to join me if you know Adhara's safe, and I'll try and get these fuckers to leave our castle alone. The alien slid off the bike, and she hesitated beside me for a moment before she reached down and planted a quick kiss on my cheek. Her lips were soft, and it caught me off guard so much that I stuttered slightly as I found myself trying to thank her.
No. It is to thank you,
Adhara said quietly.
You are good to me, Jason.
Warmth rushed over me, and I couldn't help but grin despite the tense situation. Before I could respond, Adhara hurried over to Haywan, and she swung a long leg over the back of the motorcycle. Then the lilac-skinned beauty smiled at me, and adrenaline rushed through my veins as I gripped my handlebars. Let's do this, I said. You guys are going to be okay, but just be safe. Look after each other. I'll see you soon.
Of course, we will,
Becca said.
We'll be fine, Jason. Just make sure you don't piss off too many of the men in black. We'll be there to join you before you know it.
I'm sure they're already pissed, I sighed. But hopefully I can do some damage control.
We love you, Jason,
Haywan said with a nervous smile. I love you all too, I said, and I'll see you real soon. I gave my lovers one last look before I started off toward the castle, and I drove down the road with a feeling of determination as I looked up at the black cars. The vehicles all shone under the sun, and I could even tell from a distance how luxurious they would be. There were 6 agents surrounding the ship from what I could tell, and I was relieved to see that the agents hadn't had any luck in breaking through the force field. The group of suited-up men just stood and stared at the silver craft with folded arms and hands on hips. But it wasn't long before one of the agents spun around at the sound of my motorcycle, and all the others followed suit and stared down at me. I tried to work out what I was going to say when I reached them, but I scanned the rest of the hillside for dinos while I had the chance to focus on anything else. There was still no sign of the herd, and I wondered how long it would be before they caught the scent of the new human arrivals. Surely a whole hillside of fresh meat was far too tempting to pass up. And after learning how adaptable Adhara's people had programmed the dinos to be, I didn't doubt they'd have a plan in place pretty quickly the second they realized lunch was strolling around the Raven Hall grounds. If they hadn't already developed a new plan, that is. I tried to shake off tension in my shoulders, but just one shift of my back reminded me I still had the alien gun. Shit, I hissed. God fucking damn it! I briefly considered turning right back around to hand the sharp gun over to the girls, but the agents had already seen me, and I was more than halfway up the hill now. If I turned around now, they'd only pursue me in their own vehicles, and I'd end up leading them straight to Adhara. I would just have to try and play it cool, and say that I found the alien gun in the wreckage of the crash. I'd insist it was laying out in the grass, and they couldn't prove otherwise. As long as I stuck to a story, there was no reason for them to doubt me. Unless the locals inside had already given up all the information I desperately wanted to keep private. I remembered their objections to keeping Adhara around, even after she'd saved Joey, and all it would take was one person to confess and the agents wouldn't leave until she was found. If that was the case, then the shit would probably hit the fan real quick here at Raven Hall, and I would much rather have the razor-thin alien gun with me than be left with only my SA-80. As much as the military rifle had done for me, it really couldn't compare to the power of Adhara's guns. As I came closer to the spacecraft, I could see that there were only the 6 agents in the grounds, and I wondered if the rest of them were inside the castle and combing it for any signs of an alien. A few of the agents had gotten back to their work by now, and I heard angry murmurs as they circled the ship with crossed arms. One man had a baton out that he tried to smash through the invisible force field with, but then it was launched right out of his hands. His buddy behind him narrowly dodged it as he stumbled backward and swore. I tried not to smirk at their obvious frustration, and I felt a rush of relief to know they hadn't managed to breach the protective shield of the alien craft. I decided to bring myself as close to the hall as possible so I could gauge the full situation more easily, and I only offered the group near the ship a glance as I kept my motorcycle driving at a steady pace up the road. Then I drove through the entrance and onto the gravel courtyard like it was any other day. In my side mirror, I saw 3 agents immediately move as one to come up the hill after me, and they wore identical scowls as they trudged toward the entrance. I had my bike parked and the engine cut by the time they reached me, and I copped a confused expression as I sized them up. The 3 men were all well-built and all over 6 feet tall, and they wore nearly identical suits. I wondered why they bothered to stick to uniform codes during the end of the world, but I took this as a sign that they were faring better than most were in the dino apocalypse. "Hey," I said as the men reached me, "is everyone okay?" "Who are you?" the tallest of the burly men barked. He had piercing blue eyes and immediately looked at the razor-thin weapon on my back. Then he opened his jacket and flashed a badge clipped to his shirt pocket. It had the guy's face on it, along with a bunch of official-looking stamps. I barely caught sight of the red letters that said MI5 before he covered the badge up, but I did get a glimpse of the Glock he had holstered on his hip as well.
"Where did you get that thing?"
the MI5 agent asked and pointed to the weapon on my back. The other 2 men stood with their arms folded, and one of them chewed gum loudly while the other just stared me down without blinking.
"I found it over there," I said, as I gestured toward the spaceship. "I live here, so I took it. There's fucking dinosaurs running around, and I want to protect myself. What exactly is going on?"
"Pretty obvious, isn't it?" the gum chewer asked. "Big UFO fell out of the sky. Any idea who was driving it?"
No, I've been wondering the same thing, though," I snorted. I was just out myself looking for whoever it was. That thing's got some magical fucking powers or something. I tried to get inside, but it's like there's this invisible barrier. Anyway, nothing with green tentacles came out to probe me, so I guessed whoever was in there must have taken off into the countryside. The three men kept staring me down, and none of their expressions gave me any hint if they believed me or not. "So, what's the plan?" I asked, in what I hoped was an intrigued tone. "I'm guessing you're here to have a look around the castle, but I'm not sure it'll be helpful. I think we would have noticed if there was an alien wandering about, but..."
"We're not leaving without it," the tallest one growled. "So you want to tell us what you actually know? Why would that gun be lying outside the ship?"
"Fuck if I know," I replied. "I'd imagine shit gets shaken around during a crash from a spacecraft that big. But I was thinking maybe the alien dropped it if it tried to flee the scene real quick. Seems possible, right?"
"You say the ship's empty?"
the gum chewer asked instead of answering me.
"How long was the time period between the crash and you coming out to look?"
"Well, it was dark," I said, and made myself comfortable on the bike seat. I didn't check the time, but everyone was asleep, and we woke up to the sound. I thought we were being bombed at first. Some choppers were dropping bombs down in Cambridge not long ago to kill off the dinos. The men looked at me silently, and I got the feeling they wanted me to continue, although I couldn't work out if they were buying it or not. Eventually, I figured no other bombs were dropping because it stayed quiet around here. "And I went out to get a look at the damage," I continued. "I thought I'd lost my fucking mind when I got out here. It took a while to realize I was actually looking at a real UFO. I thought it must be some secret military weapon at first, but there's crazy markings on the side, and then the weird invisible shield or whatever is keeping us out of it. I found this gun, and I figured alien technology seemed like the only possible answer, as crazy as this shit sounds." I chuckled and shook my head at the thought. And I didn't have to fake my demeanor this time. It really did sound fucking crazy, and my mind was still blown over all of this.
"And you came out here alone?" the tallest man asked.
I didn't want to give a straight answer, in case it conflicted with any other stories the locals might have given, so I shrugged. I was a bit hungover, to be honest, and once I saw that ship, pretty much nothing registered. I think some people came out after me, but mostly everyone was just scared. I glanced up at the sky and hoped the girls had managed to find somewhere safe to hide at Hara. It didn't seem like the bastards in black were going to be leaving anytime soon. "You guys shouldn't be out in the open," I told them as I looked down the hillside. "There's been full herds of dinos around here for a while, and you're kind of like sitting ducks."
"We can handle ourselves," the tall man snorted. "We think this spacecraft will provide us with some answers that could help us defeat the lizard fuckers. So if you are withholding any information, you'd be putting the whole of mankind in danger."
"I got nothing to hide," I said. "But I am going to go inside because, no offense, but I don't want to be stuck outside with you guys when the next herd shows up." I didn't give the agents a chance to reply as I slid off my bike, and I nodded a goodbye to them as I pushed it the last 20 feet to the staff door. I knocked and expected the three men to follow me again, but I didn't hear their heavy feet crunching through the gravel. Then a young woman with red hair opened the entrance.
"Oh, hi,"
she said as she stood back to let me in.
"I thought it would be one of the government guys."
"Just me," I said as I shoved my bike inside. The second I cleared the doorway, the woman closed the door behind me, and she lowered her voice.
"Where are, the rest of your friends?"
she asked. I knew she meant at Hara, but I didn't want to say anything in case there was an agent listening nearby. Yeah, where is everyone?" I asked in a casual tone. "Is Debbie downstairs?"
"In the dining hall,"
the redhead quickly replied.
"The men who showed up collected everyone together to question as they searched the castle. They let me stay here to guard the door, but that's it."
I nodded, and I turned to leave when the girl grabbed my wrist and yanked me close.
"Nobody has said anything,"
she whispered into my ear.
"We all said the craft was empty when you found it."
I blinked in surprise for a moment, and a rush of pride came over me at the idea of the locals actually taking a stand for Adhara's sake. I had to admit, I really hadn't expected it of them. but the girl who held my wrist now sent me a small smile. Her eyes were wide with worry, and she looked frazzled over everything that had taken place. But that smile and her steady gaze assured me she'd realized who the enemy was here pretty fucking quick, and it wasn't Edhara. I nodded to the young woman, and she let go of my wrist and hurried back over to the door without another word. After I put my motorcycle back in the hall, I took a deep breath as I prepared for another round of questions. I could hear the voices in the dining hall from here, and it sounded like an argument had broken out. I just hoped nobody had broken down from the pressure yet. I walked toward the dining hall and tried to force my face into as neutral an expression as I could manage. The room fell silent when I walked in, and the atmosphere was so tense that the hairs on the back of my neck prickled. There must have been about 20 agents in the room, mostly men, but there were a couple of women, too. The residents of Raven Hall were all gathered in a group in the middle of the room, and Debbie was at the front. Becca's mom's eyes widened as she looked around for a sign of her daughter, but she didn't say a word. "Who are you?" a bald man asked as he strode toward me. "I live here," I replied. "I was just out looking for supplies. What's going on? Why is everyone in here?"
"Because we're looking for the fucking alien," the bald man replied. "We know it's here, even if nobody's willing to tell us where."
"Why would we be hiding an alien?" I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"You can search all you want. We're not hiding anything."
The man stared into my eyes, and I held his gaze as he examined me.
"Young man," he said, "do you understand that we're the secret service for the English government? We're a special branch of the government who get called up when things really go to shit."
I know what MI5 is," I said with a smirk. "I'm Jason, by the way. Nice to meet you."
"Begbie," the man grunted. "Of course, that's not my real name. But I am far too fucking important to tell you what it really is."
"Well, congratulations," I said, and hoped this came across as lighthearted rather than sarcastic.
"What's that on your back?" Begbie asked, and I sighed.
"It's a weapon," I said. "Don't worry, your guys outside already asked me about it. I found it the day the ship crashed. I figured we could use any help we could get to protect ourselves. Dinosaurs, now aliens. It's kind of terrifying being alive right now."
There were footsteps behind me, and I turned to see two more men walk through the door with sour expressions as they shook their heads. They came up to the bald man, and I guessed he must be in charge by the way they reported to him. There was a hushed conversation, and Begbie looked unhappy with whatever he had been told. Judging by the direction the two men had arrived from, I assumed they had been tasked with doing a sweep of the castle and not found anything that pointed to an alien presence. I thought about Edhara's room, but there wasn't anything in it that would give away it belonged to anyone other than a human. Begbie turned to face me, and he held out a hand.
"Give me the weapon," he said,
and I took a step backward.
"No,"
I replied calmly. "I found it, and it's mine."
"It belongs to the British government," the man in black hissed. "Now you listen to me, Yank. I know that every single person in this fucking castle is lying. What I don't know is why, but I'll find out where the alien is, and I will cut him open with my bare hands to find out what is going on here if I have to."
"You're not getting my weapon," I said. "I'll cooperate with everything else. I'll tell you everything I know, but I'm keeping this gun. We have to protect ourselves. You all haven't been around to do it." I was ready for him to lunge at me, or for him to order his men to attack. I kept my hands by my side, but I was ready to grab Adhara's sharp gun if anyone moved. And there was a tense silence as the bald man did nothing but glare at me from about 6 inches away from my face. I guessed he was waiting for me to crack, but for some reason my pulse was steady. Maybe it was the alien weapon on my back, or all the sex I'd been having lately that just infused a steely confidence in me. But maybe not. It could be how many times I'd faced off with enormous, ravenous, man-hunting dinosaurs that made this burly fuck less than intimidating. And there wasn't even a sheen of sweat on my brow as I stared right back at the agent.
"Okay," Begbie said quietly, and his tone was impossible to interpret.
"I can tell you think you're pretty important, right? So how about I let you hold on to that weapon for now, and we have a little walk together, you and me?"
"Sure," I said with a nod. "Like I said, we've got nothing to hide here. If I can help you guys out, then I will. Follow me, Begbie grunted, and he glanced at the two agent closest to us. Keep them contained.
Contained?
One of the women locals asked, but I couldn't tell who it was.
Why are you holding us here like prisoners? Gerald demanded from the middle of the group. This is ridiculous. We haven't done anything wrong.
The least you could do is let us leave the damn room, Mikey added. It's a bit claustrophobic in here, to be honest. And where the hell would we go? There's dinosaurs outside.
You can leave this room when you tell us where the fucking alien is, Begbie spat as he reeled around to face the group. There's a lot of people in here, and I know damn well at least one of you saw what came out of that ship.
Right, so you haven't listened to anything we said then,
Mikey shot back.
Good to know we're all wasting our time here.
Nobody else spoke while Begbie turned red with anger, and I had to hand it to the group of locals. Not a single one of them raised a hand or offered up any information. Even Harris, who had seemed to be against Adhara staying with us, just pursed his lips in a tight line as he held his son close. The little boy looked angrily at the agents around us, and I got the feeling Joey would be the toughest to crack.
I'm going for a little walk with this young man, Begbie said through gritted teeth. When I get back, I expect someone to have remembered exactly what is at stake here and offer up what they know.
I took one last glance at the group, and the bald man placed a bony hand on my shoulder as he started to guide me out of the hall. He was alarmingly strong for someone so thin, and I resisted the urge to smack his hand off my shoulder. I made sure my alien weapon was secure over my shoulder as we walked onward, but out of the corner of my eye, I caught the agent glancing at the sharp gun. Why am I being singled out here? I asked as we stepped into the lobby. What exactly do you think I've done?
You have that gun on your back, Begbie said, and I don't believe for a second that you just found it lying around on the ground. That sounds a little too convenient for my liking.
He stopped walking as we reached the staircase, and he put his hands on his hips as he looked me in the eye. The light was brighter in the lobby, and I could see that his pale blue eyes were rimmed with red, like he hadn't slept in days. If I didn't know what he planned to do with Adhara, I might have even felt sorry for the guy. I knew what he wanted to do, though, and I knew him and his buddies would cut the beautiful alien up without a second thought. This government fuck wasn't getting shit from me, and I reckoned if I worked on seeming curious and helpful, there wouldn't be much he could do.
I wouldn't say it's too convenient, I told the man. You've seen how many people we have to protect here. You gotta know how bad it's getting out there, too. The way I see it, this gun is some of the best luck I've had since all this started up.
Begbie narrowed his tired eyes, but he didn't reply.
What I want to know is why that ship showed up here in the first place, I continued. Does it have to do with the portals?
That's not your business, the bald man snarled.
I disagree, I said in a respectful tone. I think every living human on this planet would like to know what the hell is going on here. If you're looking for an alien, are you saying they're to blame for all this? Are there others who have shown up?
Begbie's jaw muscle clenched and unclenched a few times, and it looked like he couldn't decide how to respond. He had clearly taken me into the lobby to intimidate me, and he hadn't had any luck with the group altogether. He probably thought I'd somehow crumble out here in the lobby, but I was asking all the right questions, and still not a drop of sweat had formed on my temple. There were beads of sweat all over the top of the agent's head, though, and he had a strong stench of body odor that I tried to ignore every time he moved his arms. If I kept my cool long enough, there was no way for him to prove anything. There was no alien in this whole castle, and not a trace of evidence that Adhara had set foot in here. His group would have no choice but to search elsewhere if they really wanted to find her so badly. But this thought actually made my pulse quicken at last. I wondered if Becca had managed to lead the girls to a safe hideout by now, and I tried not to worry about them having to fire their guns out there if a dino came upon them. I knew how far our shots carried in this area because I'd been listening to my girls split up and slay dinos all over the damn place. Then there was the possibility my three lovers were on their way back here right now, and if they arrived, it would raise even more questions. I started to wish I had just told them to stay hidden. Before I could show any outward sign of this added stress, there was a sudden outburst of noise from the dining hall, and it sounded like an argument had broken out.
What now?
Begbie barked, and he swiveled away from me and stormed back over to the hall. I strode after him, and I could hear raised voices all talking over each other.
"He's a little boy!" Harris shouted as I stepped inside the room. "And there's a small girl here, too! They haven't done anything wrong! This is scaring them!"
The doctor's face was flushed as red as his hair as he stood facing one of the agents. Joey held on tightly to his father's legs, and he was doing the little dance kids do when they need the bathroom. "You okay, Joey?" I asked, and the child nodded silently. "Cool. Well, I think we all just need to calm down a bit, and let's get the kid to the bathroom."
"You'll move when we say you can move,"
Begbie growled, and his eyes narrowed as he studied me.
"Or maybe if you hand that gun over, we can come to another agreement."
"Are you trying to bribe me?" I asked. "I need to give you something for you to let a little kid go to the restroom. We're trying to help you here. We don't have any information for you."
"Let the child go to the loo,"
Debbie piped up as she put her hands on her hips.
"This is fucking ridiculous. You think the kid is hiding secret information from you? That he's going to unleash some murderous plan if he goes for a piss?"
"What is going on?" Begbie shouted as he strode over to Harris. "You keep your voice down when you speak to my men, you hear me?" "My son needs to leave,"
the doctor shot back.
"None of us know anything, so just let us leave this room already. You can search all you want, but stop holding us like hostages." "Not until somebody talks,"
the bald man roared, as he started to storm around the cluster of locals. I took a steadying breath as I eyed the 20 other agents in this room, and then I kept my eyes trailing the worked-up man who looked at the simple countryside locals like they were criminals.
"Who's it gonna be?" Begbie carried on. "Who wants to tell us what the fuck is going on here before we start breaking each of you down one by one?"
"Don't use that language with us, you bastard,"
Debbie said in a livid tone, and several locals grumbled in agreement as their nervous expressions shifted closer to anger. Then the bald agent suddenly changed his path, and he pulled a pistol from his belt and stormed straight toward Becca's mom. He stopped within arm's length of her, and he pointed the barrel directly at the blonde woman's face.
"Tell me what to do one more time, bitch!"
Begbie growled, and the whole of Raven Hall fell silent.